Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
You have to go see pictures of that puppy at KMOX.com. Oh, so cute! So cute. Oh, in general, puppies are cute. But this dog has a tail growing from its forehead. So you know how a dog's head normally works? Like, you know, you have the long nose and the beak, and then you have the eyes. And right between the eyes, there's kind of like a little groove, like a little ditch. Right in between the eyes, maybe a little bit higher than the line of the eyes, a little like almost like with the, where the eyebrows would be, there is this little mini tail that's growing out of it. It's not hooked up to anything. It can't wag. But I got to imagine that this is going to be a godsend for that organization that took the dog in, because when this story gets national, the way it gets national, it's an easy way for them to help with a little bit of fundraising to help the organization that helps these type of animals. You go out there and this becomes a big story and everyone's talking about it. People think to themselves, I want to go help that puppy. I'll pledge this much money towards. And I look at this and think, I want to adopt this dog, just like everyone else saw this. Oh, I'd adopt that dog. A very unique rescue puppy from Missouri is going viral. I think down by the, you know, southern part of Missouri, it's Cape Girardeau. But the appropriately named Narwhal, the little magical furry unicorn, rescued on November 8th by Max Mission in Cape Girardeau. The rescuers took him in. The doctor found out the tail on his head's not connected to anything. And just as you heard at the top of the hour news, not up for adoption yet, but I don't think it's going to be a problem adopting this little baby pup out. There's video of this, so some people wondered if this was real. It was just some sort of Photoshop job. No, the dog's out there, and there's video of the dog being a dog. Such a cutie, cutie, cutie pie. And the dog being a puppy, you put some toys in front of the dog, and you want to play a little tug of war. Now, dog wants your fingers. So I wonder if they'll remove that. You know, when my son was born, he had extra digits, they call it, you know, extra fingers. So you have five fingers on one hand, five on the other. For my son, he had these little mini six fingers growing. Basically, if you look at your pinky and the base knuckle, like if you were to do a fist, that knuckle right there, on the side of his hand, there was a sixth little finger that started to grow. There wasn't any bone there, and they just call it an extra digit. And all the doctors did was basically, you know, you just tied a string around it until it fell off. That's what they were doing. That's exactly what they were doing. And, you know, eventually a week later, the little extra digits fell off. And they said, you know, it's so much easier to do that as opposed to doing surgery, because there's no bone, there's no feeling in it. It's just waiting for the thing to fall off. And he's got little bumps there now. And I said, hey, you know, when you're older, you're going to dig that. Girls are going to dig it. You're going to show them, hey, I used to have an extra finger on each hand. And you show them the bump. Oh, that's a great conversation starter. He doesn't realize that now, but one day the girls will dig it, I'm sure. CamoX.com if you want to see a picture of this dog with the tail growing out of its forehead. Let's go to Jim, who's calling in. What's going on?
Hey, good evening.
Hi.
I think it's great that people want to adopt this puppy, you know, because it's unique and different, but you know, every year there's 2.7 million dogs and cats that are put down. I mean, the need is tremendous out there, and people are irresponsible with their pets. They don't get them fixed. I'm fostering one right now. They use her as a puppy factory. Hmm. She developed diabetes because of it, and she's blind now. But I'll have her the rest of my life, and I don't mind having her, but, I mean, the need is tremendous out there.
How old is the dog?
She's going to be 8 here shortly.
8? Oh, yeah. So stuck in a puppy mill for 8 years?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, 6 years. And then
you've had her for 2.
When her health started going south, they dumped her.
That's terrible. That's a shame. Yeah, these puppy mills are terrible. I was looking around, and there's a couple of different shelters and things in the St. Louis area, and I'm always a little bit afraid hearing some of the stories of what happens in some of these county and city-run shelters. There were some pretty serious problems that were documented that I don't know if they're done fixing yet. Did you hear any of those reports?
Right. St. Louis County shelter, they fired all the volunteers.
Yeah. I don't like that. I mean, it's so terrible. So you had a couple people from the inside realizing that their conditions needed to improve. And I remember hearing the report, like they put out the audit of some of the issues that they were having, including they were keeping the sick animals with the healthy animals, so the healthy animals would get sick. So let's say you lost a dog, someone picks it up and takes it to the shelter, and you finally they can locate who the owner is, or the owner calls around and finds it. By the time you pick your dog up, you take him back home, and your dog's deathly ill. And your next thing you know, you're at the vet getting, you know, $1,000, $1,500 there to get your dog fixed because they went into a shelter and they kept him with sick animals. That's a huge violation.
I mean, when we bring animals in, if we got puppies that we take in and they got parvo, it's $1,000 a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Heartworms is about $600 a dog. And we don't adopt any animals out unless they're up to date on shots and they've been spayed or neutered.
Yeah. You have to be spayed or neutered. The first thing you should be doing anytime an animal comes in, spay and neuter that dog. No questions asked.
Yeah.
Or a cat, too. Yeah. All right. So, again, I didn't realize there's that many dogs put down a year, cats and animals that way. It's pretty terrible. We're going to be adopting an animal. I'm pushing my wife at the end of the year, but I don't think she's ready yet. So we'll play it by ear, I guess.
Stray Paws Adoptables. Look us up.
Hold on. Let me look up real quick. What's the website?
It's Stray Paws Adoptables. I think if you look under Stray Paws Rescue, it comes up under that also.
All right. Is that in St. Louis?
We're kind of all over the place. We don't have a fixed location. We foster out of our homes.
Stray Paws, P-A-W-S, Adoptables. And I'm going to do a quick search. Okay, I see a Facebook page there. Okay, let me see if I can find a link to it there. Hey, thank you, Jim.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Aw, look at these. It's so dangerous. I go home. I've been looking at pictures of dogs almost daily. And this is what happens. Me and my son will start looking at them. And every animal, aw, 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 over and over and over again. And your heart breaks. So, well, we'll see what happens. My wife and I have been talking about it. We just don't know when we're going to be ready for it. But, man, it is, it's not easy. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Radio's BS detector. Mark Reardon. Weekday afternoons at 2 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Jim, why did you have to tell me that website? The entire break, I was looking at adoptable dogs, and I found one. I sent a link to my wife. She's going to be so upset with me. She's like, listen, I know she's not ready, but... It's a little bit tough because it's not that I'm over losing my dog a couple weeks ago. It's just that it feels so off and unbalanced since we don't have a dog in the house. It just everything feels off and weird. And I know we are going to adopt another dog soon enough. So, Jim, I'm glad you told me that website. Thank you for that. I already sent a link to my wife. I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll see. You know, I got a couple of other things in. If there's any tech experts listening right now, people that are really techie, and I'm not talking about you just pay attention to tech blogs. I want to talk to someone that is like super techie. If there's anyone listening right now, I want to explain to you what happened to me today, and maybe you can help explain what happened. Because the only explanation is that there is some sort of spying going on. It is not a coincidence what happened to me today. And here's the phone number, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We need to get Edward Snowden on. Call up Edward Snowden if you can, Producer Mike. Oh, yeah, that's right. No one can get a hold of him. But let me explain to you what happened to me today. And maybe you could be the judge if you think it's a coincidence or not. And I'll just ask you, I'll let Producer Mike be the judge. Because you're sometimes a skeptic in these different ways. But let me tell you what happened. Earlier today, I was sitting on my couch, and I get a text message from my wife. So she went to the library to go pick up some books, and there was a book that was featured right there on the shelf that was funny. And she texted me the picture. The picture I posted on my Twitter page, @RyanRecker on Twitter. And the picture is right there in the front of the library. It's a book called Crafting with Cat Hair. It's you probably can't see that from there, but it's a cat that is sniffing a little miniature cat doll someone made that's about the size of a finger. And the cat's like looking at the little doll that was crafted with its own hair. It's a book, Crafting with Cat Hair. And she sent this to me and she said, this is right up front. I was like, what in the world is that? This is crazy. Okay. She texted me that at 1:05. I come into work today and I log into Facebook. And what do I find? An ad for the book Crafting with Cat Hair. Now, my wife didn't text the name of this book to me. I don't have the Facebook app on my phone. But somehow this ad pops up hours after she sends me a photo of it. How creepy is that? Producer Mike, I want you to be the judge. Am I being spied on, or is that just one of those unbelievable, unbelievable coincidences?
Oh, we're all being spied on.
I know
they're
we are.
Always listening.
How in the that's what I don't understand. I'd love to talk to a tech person. I do not get how they could have scanned a photo from a text and then somehow that information got over to Facebook, which I don't have the Facebook app on my phone specifically because of the implication they could spy on you through your phone that way. I don't even have the Facebook app. I don't get it. How in the world could they have gotten that? And do they have algorithms where they scan all photos that are sent in private text messages and then they analyze what's there and then they use that as a way to advertise to you or store or find data about you? I've seen a lot of text stories. I don't think I've ever seen one where they have algorithms that scan the photos in your text messages. And how scary is that? If they can get a hold and see that, they can see anything you do on your phone. Anything. Anything. This is scary to me. All right, so you don't think it's a coincidence?
No, I don't.
I got to call a tech expert and ask them about that. You know what? Forget that. I'm calling the police. I'm calling the police on this one. That's right, Facebook. You better watch out. They know I'm saying that right now because they can hear me because they spy on my phone. There's no way you can protect yourself other than not have a phone in your pocket or go back to a flip phone. Can I just get myself one of the first iPhone, iPhone 1 or whatever, when none of this was available? I mean, like, what could you do? Can I get a track phone and just every night I'll break it in half, crack it and throw it away like they do on the Bourne Identity, like I'm a spy hero or whatever? Maybe that's what I need to do. Will tinfoil hats help that? They might. Maybe I'll just do the tinfoil hat route, but probably unlikely. What I need to do is on those movies where they don't want the listening devices to catch things, they'll like turn the TV up really loud or they'll go into the laundry room and turn the dryer on or whatever it is. So it kind of like drowns out the noise. I just need to walk around constantly with a bunch of noise around me. So I'm thinking a boombox, and I'll play some Vanilla Ice on that boombox anywhere I go. Just so people don't, you know, they don't look at me weird because Vanilla Ice would be the right thing to play. And then next thing you know, the microphones can't pick up between what I'm saying in a private conversation and what's on that boombox, I would think at least. You know, I don't even have those spy devices in my home. Those Alexas or the Google Plays or any of those little hockey puck sized devices that you put on your countertop that you talk to and you give commands to. I don't even have those because I'm too afraid that the government used that to spy on it. And the thing is, I have all my permissions turned off. On my phone, I have an Android phone, and they give you the option to go through each individual app, and here's the ones, you give permissions to use the microphone, here's the ones you give permissions to this and that. I don't give permissions to anything. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy world we live in. That's it, I'm calling the police. Here's another question. I was going to save this for another day, but this may be appropriate. I know we have some eaters that are listening to the program right now that just love to eat. What is your traditional Thanksgiving? Because I've seen the debate pop up online on my Facebook feed and on my Twitter feed. People saying that the only way and the only thing you should do on Thanksgiving is eat a ham. They say turkey is so last year. The cool thing to do is ham. And they say ham is better. Ham is better than cooking the traditional Thanksgiving turkey. When I was growing up, I had one friend that always cooked a ham on Thanksgiving, and I never understood it. I would go over there and visit after our individual families would have our gatherings and eat. You know, there's nothing else you do on Thursday night. And you'd go over to each other's houses and hang out because, you know, you don't have school on Friday. And it was awesome. So it was kind of a cool little thing. You're stuffed. You're feeling good. You go over to your friend's house. If they have a little leftovers, you get to try some of the things they ate. Or even better yet, you get a cup of coffee and you eat some pie and you just hang out. Oh, it's awesome. Thanksgiving night's great. But I'd go over to my buddy Frank's house and his mom would always cook a ham. And I would think, oh, that's weird. Why do they have a ham and a turkey? And then I found out, no, they just cook ham. No turkey. So they did a survey about this. 43% of those who were surveyed would be open to celebrating Thanksgiving different this year. 64% of Americans would switch out the bird, and 30% have already made the jump. So 64% are open to switching from turkey to ham, and 30% of people already eat ham on Thanksgiving. I'm calling shenanigans on that. There's no way 30% of people will eat ham this Thanksgiving. Not a chance. So let me throw that question out to you. If you're one of those people that cook a ham on Thanksgiving, how long have you been doing it? And how much do your friends hate you? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Oh, you're right. You probably don't have friends. You don't make friends with cooking ham on Thanksgiving. You only make friends with cooking turkey on Thanksgiving. Is it just that it's more difficult because you have to thaw the frozen turkey properly and you have to cook it properly and it's a lot easier to just go pick up a ham? You know, put a little glaze on it and call it a day. Is it just easier that way? I don't know. We normally have ham. Like, my family always did ham on Christmas, but always turkey on Thanksgiving. My ham on Christmas was great. My dad had a certain way of cooking it. He used Werner's, and then he used pineapples. Like, you'd buy a can of the pineapples, the ringed pineapples, and you would use that juice with the Werner's, and then he would put the pineapples on the ham. And then, you know, occasionally he would go and baste the thing with the Werner's / pineapple juice, and the ham was always so good. Oh, was that great. But you do that on Thanksgiving, I'm leaving. I'm turning around. I love to eat, but I'm saying, what have you done? What is this atrocity that you have cooked? A ham on Thanksgiving? How dare you? How dare you? I'm going to use the phrase again. If I go to a place, like let's say I go to the in-laws this time around, because, you know, every Thanksgiving we have to switch families. If I go to the in-laws' house this year and they open it up and they got a ham there instead of a turkey, I'm calling the police. I'm getting there and I'm saying, that's it. What's the number to the police station here?
Stop it.
I know. That's exactly what I'd say. What are you doing?
Stop it.
I know. That's exactly what I'd do. I really am hesitant to lean too far into this, but I am just so ridiculous. Like, if I got there and they had the giant roasting pan and they opened it up and there's a ham, I would say,
oh, boy.
Yeah. What about you, though? What's your Thanksgiving tradition, ham or turkey? It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Yes, Thanksgiving, there was a survey. More Americans are looking for alternative options for dinner, including ditching the turkey altogether. What a giant fake news story. I don't believe any of it. I just can't. Let's go down to Oakville. And Joanne, hi.
Hi. I was telling this gentleman that my husband doesn't like turkey. So we always have to have, we have turkey, and I always have to make a small ham for him.
You do too.
here's the problem. The last year, my niece married a gentleman who's Muslim, mm-hmm. and they live in Brooklyn, but their family, his whole family lives in Pittsburgh, and we got invited to Pittsburgh last year. They did the whole traditional Thanksgiving, you know, American Thanksgiving, uh-huh. and my husband had to suck it up. He couldn't have his ham not in their house.
So you get there. Did you know that was going to happen ahead of time?
Oh, yeah, we knew. I mean, he knew he was just going to have to eat, you know, eat the bark meat, you know, or something. But he just, the other thing I wanted to tell you regarding the Facebook thing.
Yeah.
I swear to you, there are times I have not thought something, not even said anything to my husband. sister, anybody. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, I log on Facebook, and there it is.
Did you say bought something or thought of something?
Thought. Never spoke to anybody.
Wait, in your mind, you thought something?
In my mind, and it's on Facebook. I swear to you.
That's weird.
I know. You think I'm crazy, but I'm not.
No, I'll
come and say my husband. I'll say.
It happens to people. I don't understand it, but it happens to people. They have
I don't have a fancy phone. I have a dumb phone. I don't have a smartphone.
Yeah, and they have these very sophisticated algorithms that they use to try to anticipate the things you want before you know you want it. And it's remarkable how close these things could get to the truth, so much so that you could be thinking of something and then it pops up there. All right. Well, Joanne, thank you for sharing your experience here.
What would you ever do about the dog last week? I called in about your little boy's safety. Are you keeping the dog?
Oh, the one that our neighbor's dog?
Yeah.
You know, I talked it over with my wife, and I said, I'll let you decide if we should do this or not. And she said, she's just not ready. Just not ready. So we decided not to.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah. So our neighbor, I think, found someone else to watch the dog while they're out of town. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Joanne.
Uh-huh. Bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah. We had a very good puppy next door. Well, not puppy. He's a 100-pounder. Big dude. But he's a good boy. You know what? Talking about accommodating for one person. Same family I'd go over to, and it would have a ham instead of a turkey every year. They also did something else. Their son needed something special for Thanksgiving, too. He refused to have the gravy that was made by his mom, so they would have to go out to KFC and buy like a half gallon of gravy just so the kid could have his special gravy during the Thanksgiving meal. And you would open up their fridge and you'd see a bunch of little gravy containers from KFC because they'd go and buy it just from there. That's accommodating. I haven't got to that point where I've been that accommodating to my son, but man, that's a wake-up call that I need to be very careful. If I go down that road and I find myself on Thanksgiving driving through KFC because he refuses to have any other type of gravy, then I know I maybe drove down that road too far. Well, here's what else was in that survey. Cooking and preparing is just too much for nearly a third of the respondents who want to make things easier on themselves in Thanksgiving. 28% say they're simply bored of the same thing every year. I am not. Thanksgiving is the best meal. How could you be bored of Thanksgiving? What are you thinking? Now, I understand that it's a time commitment, and there's nothing better than rolling into my parents' house with the only thing I need to do is just bring myself with my stretchy pants, knowing that I'm about to shove a ton of food down my throat. I like that. And when it happened one year, we couldn't travel. There's one year when I was living in Indiana, my wife got very sick, and we couldn't go. We just it didn't make sense for us to drive back to visit my parents' house. So I had to go and I had to rush and I bought everything at the store last minute, which, by the way, you can do that. Any place I've ever been to last minute, it's always had everything. I mean, they overstock this stuff. So I went in, I got all the stuff. I made the big Thanksgiving meal. I did it myself. It wasn't the hardest thing I've ever done, but it wasn't as enjoyable of just sitting down and eating, you know? It's not the hardest thing. But then again, I wasn't making it like my parents made it. My parents will wake up early in the morning. You know, it'll be so early. It'll be like 3 a.m. and they're doing this and doing that. And everything's got to be perfect. And, you know, they got a routine down to a science and they got to do it. No, I wasn't like that. I was like, okay, what's the fastest way to do this? And I just got the food together. And still, is there anything better than getting on your fork a little bit of everything on Thanksgiving and eating it? It is the best. And I also will let you know, it doesn't get any better than the gelled cranberry sauce. I don't like real cranberry sauce. I don't like the kind that has the little actual cranberries inside, kind of like chunky peanut butter. I like the just flat out jelly cranberry sauce, the one where you have to like pop a little hole in the backside so the thing could slither out. That's what it sounds like going on the plate. That's the kind I want. So here's what else they found on this Thanksgiving survey. The five most overrated Thanksgiving dishes, according to the survey. Number one, cranberry sauce. I love it. Two is sweet potatoes. Three is green beans. Four is macaroni and cheese. And then five, the turkey. This is a house of lies, these surveys. Top five ways to break from Thanksgiving tradition. Number one, serving something other than turkey as the main dish. Number two is going out to eat instead of having a home-cooked meal. going out to eat. What was it, Christmas Story, where they left the back door open and all those dogs came in and ate the turkey, so they went to the Chinese restaurant? Yeah, all the dogs come on in. And the Bumpuses dogs came in and ate the turkey, so they had to go to the Chinese restaurant for it. Number three, traveling for the holiday, going on vacation, five ways to take a break. Four, incorporating non-traditional sides. And five is trying new spins on conventional dishes. And five, reasons to break from Thanksgiving traditions. One, make it easier. Two is bored of the same thing year after year. Three is the desire to reduce, eliminate stress. Four is desire to make own traditions. And five is want to do something more low-key. Thanksgiving is the best. I would give up all the other holidays for Thanksgiving. I would give up Christmas. I would give it all up. I would give anything. Done. Sorry. Bye. I can skip all the other holidays. I wouldn't have a problem working on any other holiday. Even though I don't want to work those holidays, I still wouldn't mind it if it meant that if I could only keep one, it would be Thanksgiving. Nothing comes between me and my Thanksgiving. Period. Done. I'm already preparing. I already got my special stretchy pants all picked out. It'll be beautiful. Yep, yoga pants. Right on the back, it says "Thanks T-Giving" on right on the backside. You turn around, I got it. Those very comfy yoga pants. One other thing about Thanksgiving, we used to do this tradition back home. Does anyone play sports on Thanksgiving? We used to do what they call the Otten Bowl. I went to a school with a guy whose last name was Otten, and he would organize a flag football game every Thanksgiving at the high school football field. He got permission to go and do it. So what you would essentially do, this was the idea. You would go play in the morning and for a couple hours, and then you would go back home, shower, and you're ready for Thanksgiving meal. It was perfect. And then you could the rest of the day, just enjoy the rest of the day. Otten Bowl, it was so much fun. I think they stopped doing it, but I attended a few of those times. I love those little traditions, those little things you can get away with on Thanksgiving, knowing that you have all the time in the world and you have no other obligation and no other place to be. Just go and visit some friends that night. It was perfect. There's nothing better than that holiday, really. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
I hope you had some fun tonight on Overnight America. I certainly had some fun. And it's almost midnight. What happens after midnight? We replay the first 2 hours of the show, so I think you're really going to enjoy listening back to Bill Groner and Tom Tyholtz, who wrote the book 9/12, The Epic Battle of Ground Zero Responders. It was the battle of making sure those first responders after 9/11, the ones that were running into the buildings and the ones that were part of the rescue crews afterwards that inhaled all of this terrible dust that was, you know, brought up through the collapsing of the Twin Towers. It's a shame that our government turned their backs and said, no, we can't give any more funding to help with these life-changing illnesses and all these rare cancers because of it. They were the ones that helped fought, and at least one of them, in the case of Bill Groner, he was the lawyer that helped fought and won to make sure they got their benefits. It was actually a really, really great conversation. You'll hear that right after midnight. And they're going to be at the Jewish Book Festival tomorrow in Creve Coeur. Let me go to James, who's calling in from Hazelwood. Hi, James.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Yeah, I liked your story about playing football on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Brought back a memory.
What's that?
My first paying job with a check was at Ponderosa. I was a dish dog there in 1976. And I worked there until I was 21. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we played football every Thanksgiving morning. One Ponderosa against another one.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. It was a great, great time to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And in 1980, I broke my jaw.
Oh, no. How did that happen?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I played football in high school, and I had just graduated high school in 1980. And we were playing, and for some dumb reason, I thought I still had my pads on, and it was a safety blitz out of the safety. I got the guy down, saved the game, and broke my jaw.
Did you know immediately, or did you think, like, oh,
I knew immediately.
How painful.
My ears rang. I was spitting up teeth. And
oh, no, not teeth. Was it like a clean, straight cut?
No.
It was a fracture?
It
just like a little?
It broke in the middle, and it disjointed on the left side.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Oh, you don't know the half of it.
And what you have? You went to the hospital, of course.
Oh yeah, my father, he lost some of his hearing in the war, in the Korean War. So I called him. My girlfriend was with me, and I called him, and I could barely speak. Mm-hmm. I says, "Dad, I broke my jaw. Somebody stole your car."
Oh no!
I says, "No, Dad, I broke my jaw. Who stole your car?"
Oh no!
And then I was getting aggravated. My girlfriend got on the phone, and he says, "James broke his jaw. Tell Mary to meet us at Barnes Hospital."
Oh man!
That was at 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Is ER crowded at 10 or 11 in the morning on Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was a disaster.
Really?
Thanksgiving Day, 1980 was a mess.
Oh, there were people everywhere. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get a room until 10 o'clock that night.
You were there 12 hours, basically, waiting?
Absolutely.
With a broken jaw on Thanksgiving.
With a broken jaw.
Oh, that's the worst.
I got teeth hanging, and it was just sad.
Oh, that's terrible.
Just bad.
All right, so
I tell you what.
Yeah.
Those people at the Washington University School of Dental Medicine.
Yeah.
They fixed my face.
Oh.
I'm ever in debt to them.
Oh, that's good.
Doing that.
Could you tell by looking? Do you have any scars?
I got a scar on my neck where they cut me open to set my jaw.
Wait, where's the? You said a cut on your knuckle?
No, on my neck.
Oh, on your neck. Oh, I see. Okay, so they had to cut you there for it.
Yeah. Get that. And I lost 40 pounds.
From not eating as much?
Oh, yes.
How long were you, eating, what, liquids, I'm guessing, for?
I ate for 8 weeks. I ate mashed potatoes, tuna, corn, butter, and salt in a blender.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Every day.
You know what they call that? When I was growing up, my parents called that poverty pie, except that was all, it wasn't blended.
Oh, yeah. It had to go through a straw.
Oh, that's terrible.
I said every day.
You lose all that weight. That is just... Were your parents at least nice enough to put you a nice little Thanksgiving meal together when you were able to eat again?
Well, you know, my parents and my whole family, we never ate instant mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. They were just nasty.
Yeah.
But when you're starving, you learn to like them because you make them very fast. You don't have to boil potatoes. You just make them and they're done. So I had my little stash, and every day...
Yeah,
I was going to college, and I would take me an egg and go to Dairy Queen and give me a chocolate malt, real thin, and put an egg in there for my breakfast. Anyway.
I can't believe that. just terrible. Well, I'm lucky I never busted anything on Thanksgiving, but all right, James, I'm glad you shared that with us. That is just
sad. One more thing. Yeah. When I lost all that weight, my mother says, and I look like a Cambodian refugee. But anyway.
How long did it take for you to put the weight back on?
Oh, a couple months, I guess. I was 165 when I broke it, and I got down to 123.
Yeah. Have you ran any more safety blitzes since that day?
Oh, no. I'm officially retired. I'm 58 now, so it's been 38 years, and I have no intention.
Yeah, I get that. All right. Thanks for sharing that, James. Good to hear from you.
You take care.
That's funny. He likes the Otten Bowl. Yeah, and they did the same thing. Football on Thanksgiving morning was great. You and your buddies, you had nothing else to do, and it beats waiting around for the meal to get done. You're sitting in that house smelling all the smells, and you got to get out. You got to get a little exercise in, and then you work an appetite. Mm-mm-mm. All right, well, this may work an appetite. I got two stories here that dropped onto the news wire. Do you want to hear the food story? You know there's a brand new cereal that's going to be making its way to the shelves here really soon?
Why just have a Twinkie when you could have it as cereal? Post Cereals and Hostess brand announcing the new Twinkies cereal.
Oh,
the new breakfast offering is set to hit store shelves nationwide next month.
Yes.
Long the bane of nutritionists, Twinkies were launched during the Great Depression and have the most loyal consumer following among Hostess brands, which include Ding Dongs and Ho-Hos. The treat's popularity rose in the 1950s, thanks to the TV show Howdy Doody. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Why are you shaking your head? Because I laughed at Ding Dongs and Ho-Hos? It's a funny name. Could you think you would ever name a baby a Ding Dong? Now, there is actually a new website that has some of the big new baby names out there.
Are you a fan of the cosmos? You could name your pretty little girl Nova, a name that's enjoying a meteoric rise.
Or Ding Dong. Aw, little baby Ding Dong.
Luna is another celestial name that's been topping popularity list. But what if you're having a boy? Try Austin on for size for that hot city in Texas, or maybe Tate, a Norse surname that means cheerful.
Oh.
Easton is a bit of a preppy choice, or you could try out Lucius, which means light.
Lucius.
Unless you mean that music mogul from the hit TV show Empire.
Oh. Lucius has somewhat of a temper.
Allison Keys.
Lucius.
CB.
I've never met a Lucius in my life. That sounds one of those old schools. It's like naming one of your kids like Hercules or something like that. Well, that does it for us here on Overnight America. We'll be back tomorrow for the last show of the week, and who knows what's going to happen on Capitol Hill. I'll try my best not to bring it up, but, you know, it's going to come up. I'm sorry, sissy. You can join me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker, or you can go to KMOX.com/ONA to listen to the podcast. If you just can't wait, we'll see you tomorrow.
The lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio, find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on the telephone. I don't.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.